Good morning to each of you, and as we think about enhancing congregational life in this way, through the role of youth, and I guess as what's up there on the screen right now is kind of the takeaway that I'd like for you to have. Congregational life of a church is enhanced by youth when the church intentionally involves them and relates to them. And I think that's a key factor as we think about how we relate to youth and the importance of that. And the role that the role of youth in enhancing church, I want to think about the role of the church as a whole in how we equip the youth or relate the youth in order for them to do that. I think it's not just the responsibility of the youth in how they enhance our church or our congregations, but it's the church as a whole in how we equip and what we give to the youth in order to do that. I'm going to come back to this graph a little bit later and talk about it briefly, but a little bit on what I can contribute and the different groups in our church and how that relates to them. Here's what Pope Shenandoah said from Alexandria. A church without youth is a church without a future. Moreover, youth without a church is youth without a future. We could probably tweak that a little bit and say, moreover, youth without Christ is a youth without a future. Amen. As a church, we do play an important role in the youth. But as pastors and parents, Christ is the one that needs to do that change in youth's lives. You can go to Romans chapter 12, and it was interesting as we went through this weekend how there's a number of these subjects that kind of overlapped a little bit, and I noted some of these concepts coming up in some other talks that we have seen or that we've listened to here this weekend, and in some of the thoughts here from Romans. But I believe that youth are one of the most important contributors to the life in our churches. And there's kind of a twofold aspect to that. One is obviously in the sense of longevity, right? If we don't have youth, if we don't have young people for somebody that we can pass the baton on to, then the church will die. But I think there's also an aspect just of daily, weekly congregational life that I think the youth can pour in a sense of life and vibrancy that wouldn't be there without them. If you have had a chance of being involved here at EBI at all, either to come out and cook or whatever. There's when you have a chance to relate to youth like that on an ongoing basis, there's a feeling of expectancy and vision and so on that can happen as you relate to youth. I'm a principal and a teacher, and the part that I enjoy the most is relating to them and just having fun with them. There's times that I wonder if I'm lowering my maturity level down to where they're at, and sometimes I think, man, I gotta remember to be an example to them and not just have fun with them. As I was preparing for this, I thought back when I was in high school, and this young man up here, Clyde, he was one of my teachers, and I remember some really important times of Clyde just He'd hang out at our desks or whatever and talk about whatever life issues we wanted to chat about. And as students, we were eager to, waste whatever time we could and I remember talking at times, but we really had Clyde going there for a while, didn't we? But when I think back about some of those high school years, that time of relating to Clyde and talking about practical life issues, not just algebra or science or whatever, was really, really important. So if you have an opportunity to relate to youth, if you have an opportunity to come and cook here or whatever it might be, jump for it. So let's go to Romans 12, 1 through 8. And I'd like to, we're going to read through this passage. There's one overall factor that I want to pull out of this passage before we go on to something else. And it's a kind of a concept that has come up a couple of times as I mentioned already. This is the ESV that I'll be reading out of, Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans... wait a minute, I am lost here. I am not on the right passage. Let me check here, I think... yes, I think it... yep, that's... I'm sorry. There we go. I checked beforehand. I thought I had a marker in there, but it's the wrong book. That's not relevant, is it? Let's try this again. It's still ESV, but this is Romans chapter 12 now. Verse 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. It's a key verse there. It's kind of an introductory paragraph, you might say, to the rest of this. Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body, and here's kind of the focal point here, or the main aspect I want to pull out of here, along with verse 1, for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. As we consider the passage here, as I mentioned there, verse 4 and verse 1, I like to think about this aspect of it. All members of the body of Christ participate to worship God. And as verse 1 talked about, giving ourselves as a living sacrifice. And ultimately as a worship to God. As we think about how we as a church, as a body of Christ, relate to youth, as I read verse 4, I thought about the fact that how can we help our youth to act as that member of our church, as a hand or a foot of the body of Christ, and in a participating kind of a role, not just as onlookers that are sitting in our service and singing and so on, but actively involved in a role that is appropriate for them and that can help them grow to a place of in leadership and so on, in different roles that the Lord has equipped them, gifts, enlarging those gifts, exercising those gifts. And so I think we need to consider as a body, as a church, how can we help all of the members of our church, including the youth, in participating together. It's pretty easy for 20% of the church to do 40 or 60% of the work. Another 40% or something to do another 20%, and maybe 20 or 30% to maybe just watch, right? And I think it's easy for our youth to fall into that category of maybe not participating. Not necessarily because they don't want to. I'm going to come back to that a little later. In preparing for this, I met with our youth group and just kind of picked their brains a little bit and said, so what do you think about this thing of youth enhancing congregational life? And what do you see happening in our church? How could we do it better? How do we do it right? And so I'm going to come to some of those things a bit later as well. Let me just reference this graph now, and it kind of relates to this thing of how our church can work together in as members. Part of this is not really an original concept to me, the time, energy, and money. I added the whole aspect of experience to it because it's one aspect that I think is important as we consider what is happening with the different groups in our church and how these different groups are contributing. This is very generalized. Some of us as middle-aged, we don't always feel like we have much money or energy, but compared to maybe youth, we generally would have more money. Seniors would tend to have more money than youth. They tend to almost always have less energy than youth. If you're a mother with children at home, you definitely don't feel like you have any energy left over, right? But so these are some general concepts. And as I think about what we're seeing, it's so important that these different aspects of our church are working together. That are working together. The seniors may not have energy to delve into different aspects of church life, but there's an experience that is so important that they hand down to youth. And as I think about what's happening here at EBI starting next week, that's one aspect of seniors or maybe middle-aged. I'd probably put Clyde in the middle-aged category, I guess. Pouring that into youth. One of the things that about that experience thing that I think can happen, especially in maybe a larger church, I see that sometimes happening in our church, is seniors can get to a point where they feel like, well, I'm just going to pass the baton on. Somebody else can do this. I've got younger people. And forget that you have experience that you can pass on to others. You might not have as much energy, but that's okay. Another thing that actually came up when I met with our youth, and they talked about this whole thing of the energy thing and how the conception that as a particular project or something can come up, as a church, we can maybe be quick to say, well, hey, let's have the youth group take care of that. Let's say, like, for example, maybe teaching summer Bible school or something. Hey, why don't we just have the youth take care of that? They always do such a good job. And that's great, but I was hearing a bit of a concept there from them of, you know, just kind of feeling dumped on and not really appreciated always. But hey, you know, hey, why don't you take care of this? They can take care of mulching at the church, you know, so on. And the rest of the church kind of sits back and lets them take care of some of those projects. So yes, they have energy. Yes, they have time. But let's not encroach on that and expect more than what we should. One of the things that I thought about when I was preparing for this and how the body of Christ can work together in encouraging youth and so on. Probably when I was maybe around 7 or 8 or so, something like that. I can still remember where I was standing one day after church, down in the lobby. And an older lady came to me and she complimented me. She said, you know, I really appreciated your singing today in church, and you were really participating well. Now, it's not very often that an older lady would go to a 7 or 8 year old boy and say something like that. And so, you know, for the last, 30, 40 years here, that has really stuck with me. And I thought about that. It was such an important part that she played, very little, and in fact, she had kind of forgotten about it. I shared it in a message not too long ago, and she had forgotten all, you know, that she had ever said anything like that to me. But that's one aspect of one aspect of the church reaching down to another and saying and encouraging and so on. And that's one thing that can encourage youth to participate when we reach out to them. And as I talked about at the beginning, relating to them in that way. Two more passages I'd like to look at here, just briefly. And one is 1 Corinthians 7, a few verses from there, and then also 1 Timothy. And then one more point pulling out of these two passages. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 7 and 8 say this: I wish that all were as I myself am, but each has his own gift from God, one of one kind and one of another. To the unmarried and the widows, I say that it is good for them to remain single as I am. I don't want to encroach too much here on what Rich is going to say here pretty soon, but let me read, and you don't need to turn to 1 Timothy 4 unless you'd like to, but 1 Timothy 4:12 says this: Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Now there's as much that we can say to youth. I mean, this is speaking to youth, really. But I think there's also a key thought here that we can, as a church, pull out of this, and coupling it along with what 1 Corinthians 7 is saying. And if you go through that chapter, there's parts of it that are speaking specifically to unmarried, to singles, and so on. And one of the takeaways that I took from that passage is the value that we set on unmarried, or in the case that I'm referencing, is youth. And so as we think about this, the second point I guess I'd like for us to think about is that we create an atmosphere that values youth. There's no doubt about it that Paul felt that there is a value on his position that he held as an unmarried person. And I guess as I thought about how we relate to youth, I think there can be a bit of a mentality that we can pass on to youth of thinking of this stage as a single, as a youth person, as being just this temporary position that we expect you to move on to the next stage in life. I want to say this kind of carefully, because I'm in front of all of you. Now, I've seen an older generation at times not always think carefully about what they're saying, and can easily say something like, "Well, when are you going to start dating?" Or, "Boy, isn't it about time that you start dating?" Or, "Are you interested in anybody?" You know, or something like that. And we can, without thinking, begin to devalue that position as a youth person. And I think if we want to make that role of a youth a role that is enhancing our churches, and not only that, but think about the tremendous value that they can have on the mission field, in VS work, down in Mexico. Boy, there's just an ongoing need of singles down there in the work there. When they start dating or getting married or whatever, there's an aspect of value that we lose there. There's an aspect of what they can do or should do. There's an aspect of responsibility that shifts there. In that time and energy begins to kind of be bled out, you might say, right? There's other responsibilities, other focuses that has to happen. And I think as a church, we need to, in specific ways, in how we communicate and relate to our youth, that we are relating in a way that values them and their position now, and how we are communicating that. There's one young lady, as I sat down with our youth group, one of the young ladies said this, her disdain for the comment that she has heard adults say, kids these days, and the kind of that whole thing of kind of looking down on how youth might, tendencies that they might have or whatever. It's just the kids these days. That's just how they are. And comments like that can be a bit of a devaluing, have a devaluing effect, rather than saying, "Man, I really appreciate how you helped with singing today," or "I really appreciated the devotional that you gave," or whatever it might be, or "I really appreciated how the what I've seen happening in your life," and so on. Let's look for those times. So as I just pulled together a few points here that I kind of pulled together from my talk with the youth then and otherwise that I think is good for us to think about as a church. And I forgot to check on time here. I should check that a little bit. It's 10 o'clock now. It's supposed to be done by, what is it, 11? Rich said I better not take all of his time. 10:15? All right. Okay, so youth bring a less biased opinion. Youth bring a less biased opinion. And I say that from this standpoint. Especially as pastors, but I think otherwise, as we grow older, especially if you have been in a part of a church for some time, or as pastors, there's an element of getting to know the church and getting to know the people in the church that there's positives, and then there's also, I think, an aspect of negatives that we can associate with brothers and sisters, right? And I think youth can bring a bit of a less biased opinion as they relate to people. You know what I'm saying? If you've grown up in a church and are still there or have related to the congregation for some time, you know what has happened in many of the people's lives, maybe things that happened 20 years ago, 40 years ago, or even 60 years ago. And that can kind of color, kind of cloud the way we relate to them, right? There can always be a little bit of a wall there that we can put. And I think youth can enhance our congregation in the sense that they don't have some of that clouded vision. Now, at the same time, there can be positives with that, with how we know that we can relate in a good way. Someone that's had a difficulty in the past, we can also use that in a proper way, in a good way. But sometimes it can also cloud our vision. And then another one, youth have a fresh ideas and vision. I think I'll take time to mention this. I remember as I was thinking about this, I thought of a what we called a work week program. Our youth group goes on work week every year, and then many times soon after that, they'll give a program at church and kind of go over what they did throughout the week and so on. And I remember back when I was in the youth group, we went to Fairplay Wilderness Camp and was there for a week and did projects and so on. And on our fun day, we went to this place where it's kind of a bit of a waterfall and a large rock that kind of created a bit of a water slide thing. Well, I don't know who came up with the idea, but when we went to do that program at our church then, somebody constructed this long slide thing out of, I think, a couple of 2x12s or something, and we laid it down the center. This was in the old part before we put the addition on, and we had a balcony there in the church. So there is this long 2x12 slide that somebody put together. It's probably 20 feet long, 30 feet long. And during the program, they hoisted that thing up, and a couple of youth slid down that from the balcony. They were throwing water out and stuff like that. As I thought back about that, it was such a fun time as a church. It wasn't just youth being crazy, but it was a way that they pulled the church in and participated, so to speak, in this water slide. They can have fresh ideas. And not only fresh ideas, but vision and ideas for the future. Give them experience up front. I think this is really important as we think about equipping leaders. If you haven't had a youth person up front, leading singing, doing a devotional, some way in participating in that way, in the last 3 to 6 months or something, you have really missed out. You've really missed out. And not only you, but the youth have missed out. I think it's really important that we give opportunity. Now, there's a lot of things besides us up front that they can do. But I think it's an important thing for the guys to get experience. Maybe even preaching sometime. Go alongside of them. Give them some pointers beforehand and a little bit of guidance in how you should open a passage and just a few guidelines on expository preaching, and get them participating, give them experience up front. And I heard as I met with the youth, that was one of the things that they have appreciated being utilized in that way. Quote that I came across was, "Youth can be the leaders of tomorrow." If we procrastinate, youth can be the leaders of tomorrow. If we procrastinate, we can make them leaders today in certain ways, leaders in their youth group, and in other ways as well, participating. Have the youth participate on committees. Again, this is not just involvement up front, but think of ways that they can. Committees that they can serve along, maybe alongside adults in different ways and participating in that way. One of the youth that I met with, one of them said this, that he didn't feel as much a part of the church before he was an usher. And being an usher has provided him an opportunity to get to know adults that he never knew before. Not really, I mean, at least didn't he knew them, but didn't really speak to them. And so now every Sunday morning, he's greeting them, he's chatting with them, you know, briefly as they come in, and he seats them and so on. And it was a great way for him to feel a much more a part of the church and enhance the church in that way, in relating to them. And one of the things he said, we had talked about, in my next point, is about them being in a bubble. And he just mentioned this, to the rest of the youth, he said, hey, if you feel like you're in a bubble, then come Sunday mornings early and talk to adults as they come. You know, they can jump in and sub for one of the ushers or whatever it might be. And they thought, a couple of them, thinking about the fresh ideas, they said, yeah, we could all line up there and greet everybody, and they would have to go all the way up to the front before they, you know, pass all the youth and sit in the front. I thought that was a great idea. I said amen. They don't want to be in a bubble. They don't want to be in a bubble. This comes back to the relating thing. Sunday mornings after church, it's so easy for us to chat with, you know, other people our age or other people that we have things in common with and not think about relating to the youth and reaching out to them. Another aspect is mentoring. And this isn't just one aspect of the church, but thinking back on that graph that I showed earlier, think about that experience of seniors and middle-aged versus youth and how that trickle-down effect that can happen. One of the things that we've done in our youth group is we've taken some of the older youth. This isn't necessarily an organized thing, but it's kind of happened. The older youth have taken opportunity to at times mentor some of the younger youth. And, you know, I put this plug in for older youth. And, Rich, we might get into this, talk about this a little later. I don't know. But I think a youth group that has older youth is a tremendous asset. Tremendous asset. I remember as a youth person getting into the youth group that the best thing about it was that there were some, we get into the youth group at 16, and that there were some 20 and 25-year-olds in there because they were the coolest people around, right? They kind of had things together and so on. That was the fun part, was relating to them. And we really lose, a youth group really loses a lot when somebody jumps out of the youth group at 20, or even, dare I say, 25. We have youth that routinely are in the youth group until, like, their upper 20s or even 30. And that is, there's a lot of value in that. There's a huge maturity difference in someone that is 20, 25, or 27, 30, versus someone that's 16 or 18. There's a big change that happens. Going to EBI, all kinds of things can really equip them in ways and with a maturity that they can speak in and be a tremendous example to younger youth. Jumps into this last point. Spiritually mature youth are good examples to those that are younger. In relating in that way. Here's a bad quote of the year. Bad grammar too, for that matter. I can't quite take it to read it that way. But anyway, youth don't need friends; they only need crowds. That's the worst concept ever, and in today's society. Not too long ago, earlier this week on NPR, or BBC or something, they had some lady talking about the difficulty that people have in talking on a phone. And I thought of that as I thought of when I saw this quote. Youth need friends. They need people to relate to. They don't just need to be in a crowd. There's actually a lot of research that have that youth, and I know that this is probably not necessarily true for our youth as much, but it probably is to some degree, that they would rather text somebody than talk to them, even if they're in the same room. But anyway, on this program, they were talking about how youth are losing that ability to speak to people. There's one young lady that got a job and as a secretary, and she actually was driven to tears when she thought about having to make a phone call. And so I think that we can easily lose the ability to speak and communicate when we tend to rely on this on technology too much. Our kids roll their eyes at me sometimes when I'll tell them, I was like, you know, hey, there's this new fangled thing that you can do where you can grab your phone and you punch a few buttons and you can actually hear the other person speaking and you can speak. It's like a live thing. You can speak to them and you can hear them talking. You don't even have to punch in any words or anything. You can just say them to them. Isn't that a neat thing? And they just roll their eyes at me, and which I enjoy. But it comes back to that whole thing of relating to them. Let's be an example and reach out and relate to them. As we think about coming into the panel discussion, I just want to throw this thought in, and how would Sunday school be enhanced with youth and adults mixed? I thought about this because I was out at Living Hope at Clyde's Church a while back, and or this fall, and Sunday school was a neat time because just all of us men, youth on up, we had Sunday school together. It was a neat time of relating. And I guess I just wanted to hear feedback from you guys if you've tried anything like that. What are the cons? Have you done it? And it's just something that's been bouncing around in my mind. So as I wrap up here again, the congregational life of a church is enhanced by youth when the church intentionally involves them and relates to them. All right. We just have a word of prayer, and then I'll turn it over to Clyde or Milton. Lord, I thank you for our youth, and I thank you for how you have equipped them to fill certain roles in our church, and to fill in the gaps, you might say, in ways, Lord, in our congregational life. And Lord, I pray that we cannot forget about what they can do in enhancing our congregational life. And Lord, I pray as we come alongside them, that we can be examples to them, that we can pour life into them and direct them, as we've heard so often this weekend, as a life that with a foundation on your word. And just thank you for that. Lord, guide us throughout the rest of the service here. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.